Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastama Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 21, chapter 13, Sadhana Bhakti executed exclusively by taking shelter of the holy name. Aikantiki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti. Suta Goswami Dishonaka Rishi, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.14. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Sukadev Goswami. So we saw before is that the aspect of just devotional service, it takes care of everything. So even within this, just chanting the holy name takes care of everything. Mm-hmm. Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Prickett, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3, 44-46. Terrified, about to die, a man collapses on his bed. Although his voice is faltering and he is hardly conscious of what he is saying, he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord. If he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord, he can be freed from the reaction of his fruitive work and achieve the supreme destination. But still, people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord. Even though so easily he could go back to Godhead, still they won't. Still they won't worship. Right? In the Kali Yuga, objects, places, and even individual personalities are all polluted. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, however, can remove all such contamination from the life of one who fixes the Lord within his mind. So even the object itself, the place itself, individuals you're with, they may have that polluted aspect, but if you're chanting the holy name, you're always remembering the Lord, then it won't have that effect. Mm-hmm. Right? So we're affected because we have that desire. But if you're remembering the Lord's pure, so we're on that pure platform. Does that make sense?
But now he seems that the time of death, you know,
the time of death, yes.
The function of the body, mind, are disturbed.
Yes, so, but the point is if that you will take shelter of whatever you see as shelter, that will happen. So if you've been worshiping the Lord, then you see the Lord is shelter, so the mind will go there. Mm-hmm. Because it's the point where you know there's... It means you have various aspects, but the one aspect is... Nothing functions. You can't. There's nothing you can do.
Yes. Yes.
So therefore, you have to take shelter somewhere. So if the Lord is important, you'll take shelter yes. there. If not, then it'll be, you know, the wife, the daughter, yes. the parakeet, you know, whatever it is that's yes. you know there. So you, yes. how you say, the you know that old spinster who left her whole you know estate to the cat. There's a good chance she thought of the cat at the time of death, right? You know, so. So I guess that's where the saying comes from, he's a rich cat. You know? Yeah, so. So you're going to take shelter of that. That's one thing. The other thing is just, generally speaking, you see that people have an understanding that this it, they're going. So at that time, you can appreciate that you're different from the body because you're going. Mm-hmm. Not that it's just going out,
yes. Yes.
you know. Yes. So that aspect, then, since you're going, then where to go? Then you take shelter of the Lord.
Yes.
So because it's very clear at that time, then it's something that can be done.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like important how this verse is taken.
But the general Hindus, they say, okay, at the time of death, then no, if you just chant, you can go back, now I can relax.
Yes.
But the great and pure devotees, they take this, like, you know, to more anxiety that what happens if I don't chant at the time, so let now, when I'm
alright,
let me practice and then go back to Godhead.
Yeah.
No, don't wait for that.
Yes, don't wait. Because you can always tell, as let's say, you know, one of your friends, you know, hides behind the corner. When you walk around the corner, they jump out and scare you.
Yes.
What do you say?
Yes.
You know, or, you know, you're there and all that, and you're getting out of the car and working out all the things like that, because you're checking if you have everything, and the guy that's, you know, driving, then, you know, is closing up the car, so they roll up the window with your hand in it. Or like that. What do you say?
Yes. Very practical.
Yes, that's how you can tell is if your theory of we can relax now is working or not. So if in all those situations you say Krishna, then, okay, you're good. Whatever you're doing now, it's okay.
That's better, the intonation you say.
Yeah, depends on if you're taking shelter Krishna or blaming Krishna also. Yes, that's also, yes. So that's the test. That's the, I say, midterm test, you know, like that. Or what is it? What is it called? Snap quiz or flash? You know, they mean that just, you're not expecting a test, and the teacher comes in and just puts down a test for everybody. It's a simple thing. It's just to check if you know one thing.
It's a surprise test.
Hmm?
Surprise test.
Surprise test. Yeah, one of those.
Yes.
So that's a surprise test. And so then you know, okay, maybe we need more study.
At the time of death, when you chant Krishna's holy name, it is necessary that we should... It should not be only the name Krishna, but we should remember him as a person, as Bhagavan.
It's just a matter of the more you do, the further it puts you along. But the point is, if you chant his name, it works. It worked for Ajamil, and he was just calling his son, who happened to be called Narayan. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it works. We always have to be very, very careful that we don't put... conditions, it says, one holy name can purify the whole universe, right? Or someone who chants the holy name once, there's no volume of sin he can do to counteract that, right? And so it's a glory of the holy name, but we have to be careful. The tendency to say, oh, that's only if it's a pure chanting. But no, Nama Bas will do that. See, the pure chanting will get you prema. We take it that liberation, material good qualities, you know, removal of sin, these are major, major things. But they're not. They're side effects. Right? It's not that you have to separately work for them.
Yes.
You know? Yes.
Because, like, you know, holy name is a person, and it is... In that circumstance, it is a personal relationship between the person who is chanting and the holy name.
Yes.
Because of which, like in many Puranas, we hear many stories where it doesn't cross our mind how this personality has gone back to Godhead with doing that.
Because it's just connected. It's like that one, I think a hunter or something, or a king or something, he shot a bird. And the bird then fell out of the tree and on the ground and started flapping around and went around a clump of grass 3 times like that and then died. And then they took a forearm, Vaikuntha form, and went back to Godhead. And they're thinking, what happened here? So they looked in the grass and there was a Shaligram Shila. Right? You know, it's not that the bird is thinking, oh my lord, you know, like that. So that's the whole thing, is that it's Krishna's. All it is it's about him. It's about remembering him. That taking shelter of him. Maybe that's how I lost the last one. Because one disappeared. And I went, what happened to it? I'm stuck in here. Yeah. So, that's the point. Because it's Krishna. Then if it's a matter of, no, only if I chant purely, it's Krishna. No, it is Krishna. Because if you don't chant purely and it's not Krishna, why is it an offense to not be attentive? It's an offense because it is Krishna.
Yes.
And we're not paying attention. You know, it's like a guest walks into the room, sits down, and you don't pay any attention to them. You know, that's the point. So it is Krishna. That's the whole the thing here. So therefore, at the time of death, you remember Krishna. Then, whatever the state, you'll go to Krishna. It's just a matter of, that's why Gokul is Gokul, because then you can get trained. So let's say someone's a neophyte. They remember Krishna. Now they're purified of all everything, but their realization of Krishna, their attachment to Krishna, the rati, is at that neophyte stage. But they don't have all the baggage that is there with people at a neophyte stage. Right? That's all purified has been, that all this reactions and all that's gone. But they don't have any particular attraction to Krishna. There is an understanding that it's important, so therefore if you keep going with that, you appreciate the situation, then you'll take association of Krishna's associates. Is that what I'm saying? And that way, then, that's how it'll be dynamic and you'll move forward to prema. It doesn't matter. So if you're a madhyama, you remember, you'll start at the madhyama. If you're uttama, you'll start at the uttama. The whole point is that in that time that Krishna comes and performs his pastimes in Gokul, you can come to the platform of prema. Does that make sense? That's the whole idea. So it's just a matter of one wants to get there. Does that make sense? If a person hears about, glorifies, meditates upon, worships, or simply offers great respect to the Supreme Lord, who is situated within the heart, the Lord will remove from his mind the contamination accumulated during many thousands of lifetimes. Right? So it just, how are you saying? It just goes away. All these impressions, the Acharya's mentioned, is like a spool. They just get put on the spool and it just, you know, wraps around. The thread just wraps. That's how you're bound with these impressions. So just by hear about, glorifies, meditates, worships, simply offers great respect, the Lord removes unwinds this spool thousands of lifetimes. Like that. You know, of course we've been here maybe billions, so that's why it takes a little while. But the point is just going to Mangalarti, you remove thousands of lifetimes. Like that. Does that make sense? Any of these things. The direct activities are the quickest. Like that. And then anything supportive, service to the devotees, you know, the padasevana, all these, all the aspects, it makes it work very nicely. Like I remember one devotee, very intelligent, very practical, and very observant. So you put that combination together, he could find fault in anybody. You know? You know, what was wrong in their service to Krishna. Like that. But they used to take bath every day in Ganga. Didn't matter the season. Like that. And so, you know, you didn't see immediately necessarily the effect. But after some years, you started to notice. Now, you know, whenever he'd meet you, he'd find a fault. And then it'd be, it was a little lighter. And then at some point, it came to the point where he didn't find any fault. He just, you know, had a nice conversation, and then you just...
And what happened to him?
Then he went back to Ganga. Sorry, where? Yes, sorry. Yeah. So the point is the process works. It's just that how much commitment is there, things will take more or less time. So that's the point of being steady, because then the process is steady. So that, you know, on a regular basis, you're removing thousands of lifetimes. And that's not our goal. To remove sin is not our purpose. To develop love for Krishna is. So the only advantage to removing this contamination is that it blocks our being interested in Krishna. Okay, it's still above the wall. Yeah, now you only see their head going by.
So quiet.
Huh?
it goes so quiet.
Yeah, no, it's very far out. It has big feet.
So it's all about first developing the desire for having prema for Krishna. Then
yes, it means you have that, but you gain that in the association. So unless you associate, then there won't be any interest in the process, let alone the result. So it all goes together. But the point is you have to know it's about developing love for God, not, you know, becoming the biggest book distributor or the best manager or these things. These are just ways to engage the nature, your position in Krishna's service. But you're doing that to please Krishna. Karabhajana Muni to Maharaj Nimi, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:5, 32, 36. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtana. Right? So I should apologize for using an archaic example that someone wanted to be the best, Sankirtan, you know, devotee or best manager in the society. I should have said, you know, make the most money, have the best prestige in society, and, you know, that kind of thing. That would have been more contemporary. I'm sorry for the archaic example. So here he's pointing out that actually advanced in knowledge means you have people that have knowledge, but actually advanced means you understand that in the performance of Sankirtan, as the Yuga Dharma, all other things are contained. Right? Because Sankirtana means at all times, all places, all circumstances, you're remembering and glorifying the Lord. Right? So even you're at work or making money, you're remembering about the Lord. Right? Because the different aspects that are there, either you're remembering directly or you're remembering indirectly. But Krishna is pointing out in the second canto that remembering him at all times, all places, all circumstances, both directly and indirectly, this is what you want to do. So it's not that we have to be, you know, while we're sitting there and writing the monthly report for the boss, we have to be there, you know, absorbed in Krishna, rolling it on the ground in ecstasy. And then, no, it means you remember the concept here. You do your work nicely. It means, why is the potency there? Why do reports work? Right? Reports are knowledge. Why does knowledge work? It's Krishna's jnana potency. Right? So now we're doing it to this knowledge so that, you know, being pleased with all these things, everything goes nicely, our job goes nicely, we get paid, and then we can maintain ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So for us, we're dealing with jnana shakti. For the boss, it's ajnana shakti, because for him it's just making money so he can enjoy himself.
It's kriya shakti.
Sorry?
For him it's kriya. He makes money.
Yeah. I mean, it means, of course, it's working there, but we're talking about that you have the jnana and ajnana overall. We're not, it wasn't so much meaning the jnana,
For us, it's just theory. For him, it's tangible and concrete.
Yes. Money. What is it? I think it was, what was the guy's name? Can't even remember his name. But he had a statement that in this life one thing counts, in the bank large amounts. Right? And that money doesn't grow on trees, so you go out, had to go out and get it. Like that. So yes. Sutta Goswami Dasonika Rishi, Srimad Bhagavatam 12:11-25. No? O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief among the descendants of Rishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties that are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and your most sacred glories, which are sung by Vrindavana's cowherd men and women and their servants, bestow all auspiciousness just by being heard. Oh Lord, please protect your devotees. Narad Muni to Vyasadeva, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:6:26. Thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are beneficial, benedictory. So doing, I traveled all over the earth, fully satisfied, humble, and unenvious. So, just chanting the name, all these good qualities naturally come. That satisfaction, everything is there. Shaunaka Rishi to Suta Goswami, Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh no, wait a minute. To Maharaj Prikit, Srimad Bhagavatam 2:1:11. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge.
It mentions about your constant chanting of the holy name. But constant chanting of the holy name is very difficult to perform.
That's why there's practice.
Practice.
Yeah, practice. Why? Is anything easy? Does that make sense? Let's just say, just for example, is it easy to live in, let's say, a 10-meter square apartment with your whole family, and that you're paying some ridiculous rent on, and at the same time as you have to maintain a 40-lakh, car that you have to drive to wherever you're driving to, even though it should take you 5 minutes, it takes you 2 hours because of the traffic. And then you're at work, and everybody there, you don't like the work, you don't like the people, it's all mundane and all that. Then you drive back home, and then like this and that, and then you're there with your family. So is that easy?
No.
But do people do it?
Yes.
Why? Because they want the money. So if you want to develop love for Krishna, then you try to practice chanting. Is that true? Shaunaka Rishi to Suta Goswami, Srimad Bhagavatam 2:3:24. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and hairs stand on the end. Right? So one's chanting and one finds it's a very nice mood. So then he's saying that the heart must be steel framed, is that having gotten that mood, then we're happy to go back to just our ordinary position.
Yes.
It should be, no, this is what we, and move forward with that. So that's why then the whole point of before is just by doing things in connection with the Lord, the purification is very great. One will move forward very nicely. But one tries to do that on a constant basis. So that's why then all these facilities, all the different aspects of the Sankirtan mission is to try to make it so at all times, all places, all circumstances, one's able to be Krishna conscious. That's the whole point. That's the training.
Yes.
But if we simply look at it, we don't want to be fanatic and this and that and all these rules and that, then fine. But the problem is are you being always Krishna conscious? No. So that's the difficulty. These things are there because in conditioned state, they help.
Can we basically say that the training is for the mind?
The training is for the mind.
Because
you could say if you control the mind and that, then things start to work. Because the mind controls and then you control the senses. Then you practice tolerance and abstinence. These things. So that process is, that, and it's to get the mind to focus on Krishna. So right now the mind is focused on things that are not Krishna. And then the idea is to bring it so it is focused on Krishna. So then it likes to not focus on Krishna because it has other things to focus on because of the impurities. So if the heart is purified, then those impurities don't distract. They start to distract less. And you can see that there's a slackening of the... what I'm saying? Before it's something you have to do. Then it's something you want to do. Then it's something that you like to do. Then it's something you could do. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's one of those things, well, maybe or maybe not, or, you know, let's see. Mm. Right? And then eventually it gets to the point where one's not going to do it. Right? But then, you know, and then it just keeps going, and then it's about Krishna, and then it's, you know, then it becomes, you know, we could or could not do for Krishna, then we're going to do for Krishna, then we, you know, we want to do for Krishna, we must do for Krishna, you know, just it keeps going the other way. But you're removing the focus on the one to the other. So the whole thing is you're trying to catch the mind. That's why Lord Chaitanya, that opening verse is about purifying the mind. Chaito Dhatva Namarjana. Okay. You know, so in that we know it means the consciousness. Because the consciousness is the actual point. The mind follows the consciousness. So if our consciousness is something, then the mind can be controlled. Because the mind's just going to go through those things that have gotten some experience. Does that make sense? So if something gave you an experience and you considered it good, it will be considered favorable. If it gave you a bad experience, you'll avoid it. You know, it's like that... I say, what is it? The first time the kid ate a particular thing. And if they didn't like it, that's it. A lifetime of not eating that thing. You know? I say, concrete reality. So it's just a matter of the purification then removes these kind of aspects so that one can then focus on Krishna. Not saying that they'll eat their broccoli, but, you know, they'll at least remember Krishna. Mm-hmm. Vritrasura praying to the Supreme Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.11.24. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I will again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants, who find shelter only at your lotus feet. Oh, when? Will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become this servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes and my body always engage in loving service of your lordship. Right? So it's the association of devotees that's the main thing. That's always so important. So if there's a decision you have to make, you know, in the life and all that, look, keep that as a major aspect, is the association. Like that. Because that's where the inspiration is. I mean, association, we're meaning here spiritual. Right? just as a side note, just to make me okay. We have to keep ourselves up to date here. Right?
Just in case.
Huh?
Just in case.
Just in case, yes. Just in case. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings always look for their mother to return and feed them, as small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, or as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. Okay, so this is all Vritrasura. Yes, Vritrasura. Vishnu Dutas to Yama Dutas. Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, the Dutas. Dutas to Dutas. Srimad Bhagavatam 6, 2, 7, 9 through 10, 14 through 15, 17 through 19. Ajamil has already atoned for all his sinful reactions. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives, right? Because the Yamadutas are coming to take you for what you've done in this life. They're not coming to take you for what you did in last life. They already did that. Right? For in a helpless condition, he chanted the holy name of Narayana. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense. And therefore, he is now pure and eligible for liberation. Right? So there was no other consideration. He wasn't doubting the name. He wasn't offending devotees. He wasn't thinking it's a karmakanda activity. Like this. Does that make sense? He just chanted the name of the Lord. It wasn't pure because he's worried about dying, you know, and that kind of situation and all that. But he's chanting the name. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables. Right, because stealing the gold of a Brahmin is considered one of the Mahapaps. For a drunkard, right? Because drinking alcohol is also in the Mahapapasara Brahma. For one who betrays a relative or friend, right? So one who kills a friend like this. For one who kills a brahmana. For one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior, right? So these are, they're talking of the Yamadutas. These are all the five great sins. So, you know, you're going to say, okay, yeah, it gets rid of that. Okay, he touched someone with his toe so he won't get a hangnail or something like that. Okay, we understand that, but... You know, these maha pops, how does it deal with that, right? So they're pointing that out. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men, right? So it's meant that these are main big problems, right? And then, and for all other sinful men. And then outside of that, anything else you've done, right? Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, quote, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection, end quote. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, like Ajamil did, it was in his son, jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. Right, so even those guys on the other side of the street, when you go by in Hari Nam, and they go, ah, Hare Krishna, like this, you know, why don't you Hare Krishnas get a job? Or, you know, they're chanting. Right? You know, so now they get rid of unlimited sins. Now, by not going on the street, it's not that they'll get any piety. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so, yeah.
Huh? Huh. This musical entertainment.
Yes.
So
you get benefit by that. Then there's pure chanting.
I'm talking about devotees.
I am also.
So for some, it's a step up.
It is.
But can it be a step down?
The point is that if you're absorbed in the holy name, then even if someone else is singing, it's a matter of an entertainment kind of thing, you'll be, you know, absorbed in the holy name. Just like, let's say, Hanuman, he comes along because now, who is it? Bharat, I think Bharat and Shatrughna have already been defeated by Lav and Kush. Right? So now Hanuman comes. So when they see Hanuman coming, then Lav and Kush tell the other Gurukul kids to go over or down next to the river there and start a kirtan, Ram Nam Kirtan. Mm-hmm. So he's coming in rah, like this, and he hears the kirtan. He goes, sits down with the boys, and he's just clapping. You know? But that technically, this going on because of political purpose, but he's absorbed in the name. So that's the point. So you can get benefit. It's bona fide name. It's not like you go sit down with the Sahajians. No, that's you won't do. But it's bona fide. It's just that their intent may not be. So depending, as long as it's not too obvious, you know, like that, then you can be absorbed. You know? So yes, so you have those elements. You know, I say. Yes.
The standard understanding is that we practice japa to get an individual experience.
Right.
And then we go for kirtan to get a group experience. But then recently, some of the kirtaniyas, they mentioned that kirtan, it's also very personal experience. So
yeah.
How can we...
Means it has both. That's the point of the kirtan. That's why it's Sankirtana. You get your personal experience and others get. Well, japa, only you get. Right? But when you do kirtan, then you're getting and others are getting. So that's why it has that benefit. But it's still, you have to put in your time and see that you chant your japa. But that's why it's recommended that the kirtan aspect... That's most important, because others will get benefit, and even those who haven't committed themselves to chanting the holy name. That's why we go out on Hari Nam, because those who haven't made that commitment. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you go out on Hari Nam and the complaints come because all the guys are sitting down there chanting the japa and you're making too much noise and they can't really hear their chanting. Right? Have you ever gotten that one? Or? You have gotten. When you're out on the Hari Nam on the street, on the boardwalk there?
No.
Oh, not from the people.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
yeah, they're not complaining, so. Yeah. So that whole aspect there is. Oh, I was wondering why are they coming now? Yes. So the whole point is that absorption in the chanting, then that's always going to be beneficial for everybody. That's why it is the process. And then we also have that, you know, our private practice of that. Mm-hmm. So in other words, it's all about chanting. Right? And that's chanting the name, form, qualities, and pastimes. It always says that. It says chanting the holy name, you get all this benefit. But it doesn't say chanting the holy name, not the name, not the form, qualities, and pastimes. It mentions all of them. So for those who appreciate that, then any of those are all called kirtan. You understand? Some will try to limit the term to certain aspects. That only if you're chanting the holy names, then it's kirtan. And if you're doing something else, it's not. If you're doing bhajans, it's not kirtan. Yes. Or if you're discussing Bhagavatam, it's not kirtan. Or like that. But that's not how the acharyas see it. Right? It's seen that anything of hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord, that's what's important. Right? Because that's why it always says name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And you know, and as it goes, as it matures, we read that other day about how the meditation, how it deepens through those. It means in the beginning, then you're just hearing the holy name. Then when that deepens, then that's called, you know, then that becomes, you know, how you say, dharana. Then, you know, it means on the form, I think. And then when it goes into the qualities, that's jnana. And then when it's into the pastimes, then that becomes samadhi. Yeah. Like that. So it naturally moves through that. So if you say it's just the holy name and nothing else, then, and if they say only the name can do that, then that, does that mean Narottam Das Thakur wasted his time by writing two song books, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur by one song book, and then, you know, Padyavali and Stavamala and all those are all a waste of time, and then, you know, we could have just chanted, what do we need Chaitanya Charitamrita for? And, you know, you ever say, so the whole point is it's all of this together. That's Samkirtana. Does that work?
Yeah.
So it's just that someone has that commitment to the holy name, that's very good. And they'll always get benefit. And they're chanting, they'll get benefit, others will get benefit. But one has to understand it's much broader than that. Is that?
Yeah. Also, Jiva Goswami mentions about in the area about the holy name, in the Bhakti Sandarbha, he mentions the only person who doesn't get benefit is the person who is offensive, in the sense he willfully, even after knowing the power, willfully he obstructs, like the matsar who is envious of the holy name.
Okay.
Rest all have their benefit because they're allowing holy name to, like, somewhere receive, you know, they're receiving holy name by some way.
Okay.
But it's only this one kind of person. Is
okay, so even the person who may obstruct. They have issues. Can we repeat? Okay. Repeat. That when you chant the holy name and you go out, as it mentions, even people are chanting derisively and all this and that, you know, indirectly, jokingly, musical entertainment, or even neglectfully, like that. They all get benefit. Right? So the only one who doesn't get benefit is that person who knows the potency of the name and knows the glories of the name and still obstructs the chanting. So the person who just obstructs because he's, you know, yeah, like that, even he's benefited. But when because they don't know the glories of the name. But once they know the glories, that's why you don't please the glories of the name unless someone has that potential to take it seriously. Because otherwise, then they just go from a demon who's getting benefit from hearing to a demon who gets no benefit. So that's why you...
Okay.
Yeah. So, that's what he said. Okay. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. Right? So that's the point. It's accepted by all of them. So we should also accept it. We should not accept it. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of the house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved of having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. So all these things is that you remember the Lord's holy name. That's what we're saying. All these things happen, you remember the holy name. You know, if you say, you know, other names, then it may not work out as well. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Right? So, they cannot uproot. Right? Means you perform a sinful activity. If you do the atonement, it removes that sin. Right? If you repent, right, then that removes desire, right? But the bijas, the seeds of desire, are only removed by chanting the holy name. So that's why it mentions that prayaschitta doesn't actually have that great of a benefit. Right? Because if you're removing seeds, because it's that one desire, that's one aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? So, someone's, let's say, cooked something, and then you see it and want to eat it, and then you find out it's not offered, so then you feel bad about that. It will remove that aspect. You know what I'm saying? But it's the devotional service that will remove the seed of that, a different preparation or different situation, or you understand? So it just removes all desire for sense gratification.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point, is that you have these levels. That's why we see is that having given the whole thing of how prayaschitta works, then the Bhagavatam points out it's like an elephant's bath. You know, you take a bath, you get purified, but because of the sinful desires and the desire seeds, contamination will come again. Right? The elephant did take a bath and was very clean. In fact, they love being scrubbed. They sit in the water and you sit there, and I think you use a brick. You know, it means their scrubby is a brick. Not a hard brick. You have to use the Amma bricks. It's number 3 bricks. They're not fully fired. So they're a little, so if you drop them, they break real easy and crumble. But there's still a brick, you know? And that's what you use to scrub the elephant. And they love it. You know? Like that. But as soon as they come out, they grab dirt and throw it all over them. Like that. Like you see in the summer, if you ever go by the elephants, they're sitting there eating, and you'll see on their back will be a huge amount of stuff. Like that. Even the stuff they're eating, it all goes on the, like that. It's just, yeah. Cool. Yeah, so even though he's sinful, we can say, okay, that's all right if he's a nice guy. The whole point is the holy name purifies anyone of anything. Right? So that's why in the Vaishnava community, there is no prayaschitta. Prayaschitta is for the outside community. So we can't take parts from Manu that we want to apply to devotees because we have issues. At the same time, not accept Manu Samhita. You know what I'm saying? Many who quote Manu to in a particular situation that they feel someone should be punished, they don't accept Manu Samhita themselves to apply in their life. You know what I'm saying? Because it also says other things that you do, it's just going to be a problem. Right? Yes. Yes.
So,
because we have a lot of desires. That's it. We mentioned before, All things create an impression in the mind, and those are wound up in a spool within the mind. So by the devotional process, that spool is unwound.
Give the same desires feeling on.
It just means you have a lot of that. Because you see, let's say just for example, so many devotees come to the temple, right? This example may not work now, but we'll try it anyway. They come to the temple, right? And they weren't necessarily following any of the four regulative principles, right? But as soon as they come to the temple, they're not interested in smoking or eating. It just doesn't come up. It's not that, you know, they see someone smoking and they're kind of, you know. No, it's just there's no interest. It's just because that wasn't very deep. But something that is, that keeps coming back, just means it's very deep. So if you've been practicing that for millions of lifetimes, it might take a little while to get rid of. But the point is, it's just this one time of remembering the Lord and that thousands of lifetimes of this go away. So it's just a matter of time for it to get up to a million. You know, and those things that are, you see immediate, as soon as someone says, okay, it's gone. That means that may be something you just developed this life from association. Right? So it goes away. So that's the whole idea, is that it doesn't mean, even though sinful, and this means even though sinful means that's more the commitment. The lifestyle is sinful. Not that he did something wrong. Right? So for devotees, they're not sinful. So then why would prayaschitta? This is someone who's sinful, the holy name will take care. So why is someone who is a devotee, why would that prayaschitta be there? Does that make sense? So the whole point is the purification is the continued hearing and chanting of the Lord's name, form, qualities, and pastimes in good association. So if you want to purify somebody, you have to see that their situation and association and activities are more directed at devotional activities. That's how they get purified. Yes?
Dalupa Maharaj, one more aspect within this is, those aspects where we still have desires are that places where, apart from connecting that aspect with Krishna, in those places we actually commit offenses during the service. That's
yes, why yes. So. Yeah, offenses there or yeah, like that. So yes, areas that we can cultivate, basically. So then it'll go slow. So you have to see is that if you connect it to Krishna, then you're starting to purify it. Like if it's something that's unimportant, it should be dropped. If you can't, then connect it, regulate it. Connect, you know, and just that regulation that you're doing that for Krishna, it'll start to. Or if you can connect it to Krishna, something you do that. Like even though it's not your activity, but it's connected. You'll get purified, and then it'll come to the point where, since it's not your activity, it won't be done. Does that make sense? Yes.
I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur analyzing the process, and then he mentions that when devotee reaches level of nishtha, all his sinful reactions are completely destroyed, and then aparada means nama aparada and Vaishnava aparada, then it goes till bab basically, because it's very serious.
Yes.
But the sin, it's completely gone at nishtha level.
Yeah, that's why it's Prabhupada says it's the beginning of advanced devotional service. So you know, we have to understand how far we're going. So therefore, Madhyama is quite advanced. We have to avoid the Mauritian frog, process.
Yeah.
With initiation, until which level is this child?
With initiation, you want a number like that. We want to know exactly. This much, but at my initiation we put extra decoration on the kunda. Does that mean I get more? I took my beads and what do you call it? Soaked them in the Jamuna. I'm like, Dad, do I get more for that? They were also Radha Kund beads. You know. It's just where you just have to see where are you situated. So you've taken up the process of Bhajana Kriya. So that's generally where it will, by initiation means that you take up Bhajana Kriya. Otherwise, before that, you're practicing, but you're practicing based on the association of devotees. So you could say it's bhajana kriya, but it won't be that as stable because one is not committed to the process, so one's willing to take initiation. Right? Is that what I'm saying? So, but then as one goes, then one becomes purified. When one becomes purified, one becomes steady. So if one is, we see after initiating one's steady, then we see it's there. But if you see there's still some unsteadiness, it'll be in that anartha nivriti stage. Like that. So it's just a matter of seeing that. So. Sorry, no percentage.
Can we say that when we receive the second initiation, we are supposed to willingly develop nishtha?
It should be that second initiation basically is representing nishtha. Yes. That's what Prabhupada was mentioning.
Yes.
You know, because you know the philosophy, you're stable in your service, you're committed, you know, the sadhana is fixed and like this. Yes. So then that's generally, that would be the symptoms you'd look for second.
Yes.
Like that. Rather than we need two more pujaris and, yeah. It can be. Yeah. But the point is that if one applies, one will get there.
Yes.
That's the beauty of the devotional service. Even if you're not qualified, you'll get to there, like it says. Someone has no desire, someone with all desires, yes, but it will bring you to the platform of perfection.
Yes. Sooner or later.
Yes. It's just a matter of whether it's sooner or later. Yes. But it will work.
Yes.
That's the point. There, no other process is necessary. As a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. Right? So this is the Vishnu Dutas. So we can take them as an authority. Right? And they're telling the Yama Dutas who deal with piety and sin.
Yes.
And reactions accordingly. And they go, and after hearing all this, they go discuss it with Yamaraj. You know, so he knows Dharma, and he is one of the Mahajanas. And he confirms what the Vishnu Duta said. So we can take this as authoritative. Right? Because dry grass, it goes so quickly. It's not like a wet piece of log that sits there and smolders long and slowly, slowly. It just is gone. Like that. If a person, unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine, takes that medicine or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge, because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Right? So the holy name will act whether you understand it or not. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very effective. Supadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikit, Srimad Bhagavatam 6249. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, and although the chanting was directed towards the sun, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, there's no doubt that he will return to Godhead. Oh, is there a doubt? Where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Sati Devi to Daksha, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.4.13. It is not wonderful for persons who have accepted the transient material body as the self to engage always in deriding great souls. Such envy on the part of materialistic persons is very good, because that is the way they fall down. They are diminished by the dust of the feet of great personalities. Yes.
In the previous verse, that he went back to Godhead.
Yes.
And before that we heard that just by chanting Narayana he achieved liberation.
Yes.
So he was at that level. But also we know from the story he didn't go immediately. He didn't go with Yamadutas, but he didn't go with Vishnu Dutas either.
Yes, but
he just stayed.
Yes, but did he go back to Godhead?
Yeah, at the end. But
yes, so the point was is because of that chanting he went back to Godhead.
But why did he stay then more?
The name Ajamil, it was explained to me, means that which has never happened before and will never happen again. So it's a very special situation. So, you know, they're just trying to establish that point, that he is able to, because we also hear if we chant the name at the time of death, then you still die. But he didn't die.
Exactly.
You know, so we're not asking that. So therefore he continued like that. And then from that he took birth as a high grade Brahmin, and then in that way but then also we see at the end of that life then a swan airplane came and he stepped onto that. So instead of going with the Vishnu Dutas at that time, he just didn't die. So they're establishing, because in this story you're establishing the glories of the holy name in the one of the main contexts is that there is no need of any other process, and there is no other need of any other process of purification. So there is no atonement.
Yeah.
Right? Because only if you appreciate that, you know, because that's sixth canto, then you can appreciate the pure devotional service as Prahlad Maharaj is presenting. Because then we'll say, oh, but he's sinful. How can he be a pure devotee? Mm-hmm. Right? And then once we adjust with that, okay, he's chanting, it'll get you there, he's regulated as that. Then we see ninth cantos, even though it may not look as standard as it should if he has that proper faith, it still works. You know what I'm saying? So we're going from more and more kind of the external aspect to understanding that faith in Krishna, that devotion, that surrender. That's the operating principle. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's... Chamasa Rishi to Maharaj Nimi, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:5, 6-7, and 9. Ignorant of the art of work, such arrogantly proud fools, enchanted and enlivened by the sweet words of the Vedas, pose as learned authorities and offer flattering entreaties to the demigods. Right? So ignorant of the art of work is to do things connected to Krishna. That's the art. Right? We know the science, that's what they're, so the art is how to put that together that it works in our situation. Due to the influence of the mode of passion, the materialistic followers of the Vedas become subject to violent desires and are excessively lusty. Their anger is like that of a snake, deceitful, overly proud, and sinful in their behavior. They mock the devotees who are dear to Lord Achyuta. The intelligence of cruel-minded persons is blinded by false pride based on great wealth, opulence, prestigious family connections, education, renunciation, personal beauty, physical strength, and successful performance of Vedic rituals. Being intoxicated with this false pride, such cruel persons blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. Because they think they're very successful. Because the living entities come to the material world to try to enjoy separately from Krishna what they want to enjoy. These things themselves. The opulences of the Lord. So if they have them, then they'll consider they're complete. What do you need the Lord for? That's why someone who's having material problems tends to worship the Lord. Right? And then that answers that natural ongoing question. Right. Yes.
Like one of the qualities mentioned is renunciation.
Yes.
Many times as devotees, we cannot get to that, because of which we sometimes devotees...
Because then we'll get proud. Because you see, before, devotees were quite renounced, but they become proud of that. You know, so then those opportunities are there, and you see, then they can't be so proud of that. Because it's about, one's renounced only in as much as it's useful for serving Krishna. Being renounced is not the glory. Right? So that's why we see, it's like the gopis, they're totally renounced. They walk out on their whole family. We're sitting, you know, oh, I'm so, you know, detached. They walk out on the family and security and everything just to go be with Krishna. So they're the most renounced. So the point is renunciation means you're giving up something that is not useful in Krishna's service for a situation or activity or like results that are useful for Krishna. That's renunciation. Because unless it's connected to Krishna, then how does it, it won't, it just makes the hard heart, hard, heart. No, the heart, hard. Yes. Got it. Right?
Either way it works.
Is that make sense? So the renunciation is there to remember Krishna. Because that what you're renounced from is that's what distracts. So if you're renounced, then you're not disturbed. So, Narayana to Durvasa Muni, Srimad Bhagavatam 9.471. O best of the Brahmanas, you should therefore go immediately to King Ambarisha, the son of Maharaj Nabhaga. I wish you all good fortune. If you can satisfy Maharaj Ambarisha, there will be peace for you. Right? Because so, point is when the devotee is pleased, the Lord's pleased. But if you're trying to please the Lord without the devotee, it won't work. That's the Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Prakrit, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.3. Sri Sukadev said, Lord Shiva is always united with his personal energy, the material nature, manifesting himself in three features in response to the entreaties of nature's three modes. He thus embodies the threefold principle of ego and goodness, passion and ignorance. Right? Because you have the position of ignorance. But then within ignorance, you can have ignorance and goodness, ignorance and passion, ignorance and ignorance. So he's always taking these three features. And he's always in connection with the material energy. Therefore, this false ego pervades the whole material energy. Narad Muni to Maharaj Yudhisthira, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.15, 25-26. One must conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by developing the mode of goodness. And then one must become detached from the mode of goodness by promoting oneself to the platform of Shuddhasattva. All this can automatically be done if one engages in the service of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of the modes of nature. So we're giving up passion and ignorance by situating ourselves in goodness. Right, because passion means you do things because you want the result to enjoy the senses. So we control that, and we do things that are according to our duties. And then the senses are engaged there, then we situate ourselves in goodness. But it has to be we're doing it because it pleases Krishna. That will put us in pure goodness. The spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord because he gives transcendental knowledge for enlightenment. Consequently, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies are like the bathing of an elephant. Mm-hmm. Right. So we have to see is that these teachings that Prabhupada's given, these are real. We can't say that, he's from the spiritual world, he doesn't really know much about the material world, and we're from here, so we're the experts, so we actually know how to apply Krishna consciousness here in the material world. That kind of stuff we shouldn't do, because then we won't actually understand the Acharya. Like that. Prabuddha Rishi to Maharaj Nimi. So you're becoming purified by the devotion, but then you're becoming covered again because of not having that faith in the Acharyas. Prabuddha Rishi to Maharaj Nimi. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.26. One should have firm faith that he will achieve all success in life by following those scriptures that describe the glories of the personality of Godhead. At the same time, one should avoid blaspheming other scriptures. So just because we're hearing Bhagavatam doesn't mean that other scriptures are useless. It just means Bhagavatam is for pure devotion, and since you want pure devotion, you read that. The other scriptures are there. They talk about pure devotion, but they present it in such a way that if someone's not interested, then they still are connected to the Lord. But through that particular, materialistic medium. Yes.
In this connection, because in Bhagavatam also many of these stories are mentioned, if we don't realize this aspect, either we should not be offensive to them or we should be attached to them, then it will be very difficult. Why in a particular story one devotee went back to Godhead, another devotee has to take a time, because it's a lot personal feeling with, and he wants a particular story to go in such a way.
Yeah.
Like Bhishma Dev says to Pandavas that why there is no reason for you to suffer so much. It is because it's the Lord arrangement that you need. You have to suffer. That's why you suffer.
Okay. Right. Because otherwise, their piety, then it just should be you know, be like Ram Raja. But,
yes.
But even Ram had problems. So.
Yes.
But, yeah. Because that's the point, that's the human pastimes, is there's problems. In Vaikuntha, there's no problems. Right? I said there, the ladies there are dusting the walls, even though there is no dust in Vaikuntha. They just want to please the Lord. Right? But, you know, we see in Vrindavan, then when the cows go, there's the dust. Right? You know, you talk about the dust of Vrindavan. But Vaikuntha, there's no dust. Because it's perfect, right? That's the whole point. It's the realm of perfection. Okay. At the same time, one should not avoid blaspheming other scriptures. One should rigidly control his mind, speech, and bodily activities. Always speak the truth, right? Truth means that which reveals the Lord. It tells the difference between matter and spirit. That's truth. If it's not, you can call it facts, don't call it truth. Though it means contemporary, yes, they do use the word truth, but in the circle of devotees, we should understand truth means what's connected to the Lord. Okay? And bring the mind and senses under full control. Right? So by always being absorbed in the Lord, that will bring the mind and senses under full control. Right? You're trying to control them, and engaging, so why? So you can engage in the service. And by engaging in the service, that will bring the mind and senses under full control. So it's not because we're doing that, that's what's making it under control. No, it's by our endeavor, then Krishna's pleased, then we're able to perform devotional service. The devotional service will bring the mind and senses under control.
Yes. Yeah. And Maharaj, if we don't do devotional service, it's not possible.
No, then you see these great sages, they're there, but then the problem is how long do they remain as great sages? You know, so they may be there for some time, but then it goes. That's why you have the example, probably gives the example of you have I think it's Vishwamitra and Haridas Thakur.
Mm-hmm.
Haridas Thakur is undisturbed. Not only that, the ladies involved become Krishna conscious.
Yes.
Right? Well, for Vishwamitra, he gets distracted from his practice of yoga because he's not practicing bhakti yoga. But Haridas Thakur is not disturbed from his practice. But,
is it because the devotees lack association because of which they do not have...
They lack association?
Because of which they don't have faith in this particular statement.
It may be that. It may be just that they just aren't seeing the importance. They're not applying themselves. It's just a matter of if you want to, then it will happen. And if you don't want to, then it'll take a little longer. Nagapatnis to Sri Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:16:44. We offer our obeisances again and again to you, who are the basis of all authoritative evidence, who are the author and ultimate source of the revealed scriptures, and who have manifested yourself in those Vedic literatures, encouraging sense gratification, as well as in those encouraging renunciation of the material world. Right? Because why would he be in those literatures that is encouraging sense gratification as well as renunciation? Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, when we say yukta vairagya, what are we dealing with? Yukta is the senses part, vairagya means the detachment.
Mm-hmm.
So by engaging in the, it means since it is Krishna, that means the senses and the renunciation are supposed to be directed at Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Because he's the potency that makes those things work.
Yes.
So by directing the senses towards Krishna, so it's not a problem for the senses that are there engaged. The problem is if the senses are not engaged in the Lord's service. Sometimes that's misunderstood because we're so used to the material concept that renunciation means absolutely no engagement of the senses.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say the householders, they see the 3 brahmacharis and a bucket of halva, you know, and they're laughing and joking and they think, sense gratification. This is not brahmachari life.
Yes.
Right? You know, and then we see the brahmacharis, then they see the grihastha and trying to interact with the wife and get the kid to be quiet and all that, and they'll go, this is not renunciating. You understand? So the point is, it's the connection to Krishna that makes it renunciation. Right? And that's, it's the connection to Krishna that makes it yukta. But if it's not, then it just becomes dry. No? Was it a mistake saying three brahmacharis? Because if you have two, that means there's enough space that a third one could come anyway. So, but if you have three, then they're completely surrounded the bucket. So. They've taken care of that bucket. Go get your own bucket. Yeah. No? Yeah? Yamaraj to his order carriers, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.25. Because they are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yajnavalkya and Jaimini and other compilers of the religious scriptures cannot know the secret, confidential religious system of the 12 Mahajanas. Right? So anything we're taking from Yajnavalkya and Jaimini, it means that there's certain points that they're making that are useful in Krishna consciousness, but it's not that we're learning Krishna consciousness from Yajnavalkya and Jaimini. Right? Yes. Just like the Tatparya Lingus is defined nicely by Jaimini. Right? So everybody else just uses it, but it's not that we take Jaimini on Krishna consciousness. But the technical points of how the scriptures connect, how verses connect to each other, how to understand what's the important part of the verse, that we can take from him. Right? Just they don't apply that to devotional service. They only apply it to the karmakanda aspect. Yajnavalkya. So then he'll give certain aspects of the applying the Dharma Shastras in Kali Yuga. And so then that's very good. But the Krishna conscious aspect, that's not what we're taking from there.
Mm-hmm. This Yajnavalkya is the same one who got from sun god different, that should Krishna Yajurveda.
Krishna Yaja or Shukla?
The first one was Shukla.
I'm not really sure.
Basically, it is the same person, like. Who's
could be. He also has a Dharma Shastra. So for us, then Manu, Parasara, and Yajnavalkya, these are the one. Manu is the basis, and then, like, so Manu might give only one verse about some particular situation that will be, you know, for us more relevant than Kali Yuga. So then Yajnavalkya and Parasara give a few more verses to make it more clear.
The story behind it is very interesting, that he's the disciple of Vaishampayana, and then because he's so proud of his knowledge, Vaishampayana rejects him.
Okay.
In the Taittiriya Upanishad, it is what he spit out, okay, that all the other disciples take it in the form of words.
Okay.
And then he performs austerity to the sun god, and actually we follow his knowledge because we got it from
the sun god.
Sun god, we were swan with the Mahajan.
So that's what he's saying. It's bona fide. It's just that we don't take the conclusions there. But the technical thing is just like, let's say there is a karmi cook, and they give a recipe that we could use. You know, it's a proper vegetarian recipe. It's not that we say we can't use their recipe because they're a materialist. But we don't take their mentality of why they're cooking and their attitude when they're cooking and who they're cooking. Like that, we don't take. But the technique, maybe. You know, but so Prabhupada's mentioned it, therefore we take it. The other ones we're not dealing with, because as it is, it's enough just Manu itself no one looks at, let alone Yajnavalkya and Parasara. So.
But now you can say that without the Gadas of Yacharya, the tendency is to take here and there.
Yes, but that's why the rule is there, don't just take here and there from a shot. You have to read it fully. Because one of the rules is one of the, I think it's in the second set of 10. You know, in the 64 items of devotional service. So the second items, the 10 items, then it says don't read various literatures here and there to be able to increase your ability to quote and give explanations and definitions.
It says don't read too many books.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. It means you read how many you can read through properly. Because you read through and then you study. So then if you can only do that with one book, then there's Bhagavad Gita. You know, that is the recommendation of Shankaracharya. If you only have one book, that's the book. You know, so whatever it is, you do, you focus your mind, and you do like that. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he explains that one, then he makes that point, is don't read these things just so you can look like a big scholar, because you can quote from here and there. And because some will do that just to increase. But,
it's so funny that when they quote, and then they quote so many verses, then you point out, you said this 5 minutes ago, and now you said this, and you're blank.
Yeah, because they don't know what's in between. Yeah. They cannot understand the transcendental value of performing devotional service or chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, because their minds are attracted to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, especially the Yajurveda, Samaveda, and Rigveda. Their intelligence has become dull. Thus, they are busy collecting the ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits, such as elevation to Swarga Loka for material happiness. They are not, and so if you're talking about temporary benefits such as going to Swarga Loka, then that means getting some money here or a house or that, you know, we're not even talking about it, you know, so it's already included. They are not attracted to the Sankirtan movement. Instead, they are interested in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Yeah, so this pride, that's then is going to be a big problem. That's why the scholastic aspect means that not that the Vaishnavas aren't scholars. Like you see is that when Vaishnava Das, because he is a scholar on the materialist platform. He knows Sanskrit, he can speak in Sanskrit, it means fluently, and that includes philosophy and discussing Vedanta and all that. So it's not that he has to get out his dictionary. Right, he knows the Vedanta, he's a sannyasi, he's all these things. So he knows the philosophy and all that. He's very scholarly on the material platform. But we see the Babaji then can explain all these things very nicely because he has that realization. Right? So the point is they are scholars, but they don't identify as such. So that's why one has to be very, very careful about identifying in that way. Does that make sense? Like you'd see is with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then his different devotees, then for the different things that they would do, they had their, you know, their own within the mat, their own studies, and they might have degrees for that, or even just positions that they've taken and stuff like that. They'd get some title for it, but those titles are for those who are outside to be impressed. But amongst the devotees, he didn't bother with that. Like you see is that you know. Someone is so proud that story of that big scholar who came to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he sent him to the devotee who ran the Goshala. You know, so when he went and he was looking, and they kept pointing this direction. So he gets down to the Goshala because there's nothing else there. And then he sees somebody, you know, who's covered in cow dung and calls him over. But he's kind of like calling him over like, I want to ask you, where is this guy? And we asked him, you know, where is this guy? He says, that's me. And it's kind of like, why did he send me to talk to this guy? You know, because it's this erudition is thought to be knowledge. But it's not. It's knowing Krishna is knowledge. So it says the gopis are, you know, simple enough, because it's not about erudition. They just are absorbed in Krishna. But if you ask one of those gopis to explain philosophy, then you see that they, you know, they write so many things.
Chaitanya
Charitamrita,
Sri Ramananda, Sarupa Damodara
explaining
it. Just the invocation of how the drama or the poem should be.
Yeah. Or see, Jiva Goswami. Prabhupada says he's the greatest scholar in the contemporary age. And so if we're looking at it from the Vedic, that would mean, you know, for us, these last 3,000 years, because that's the, you know, Western history. So it's contemporary for Vedic. You know, if you're talking about going, quoting Shastra to go back millions and billions of years, then, you know, that's contemporary. So, you know, so it, and there, you know, you're talking about Srut Damodar and Ramananda Rai, so there you're talking about Lalita and Vishaka. Yes. You know, more senior. So here we're talking, Jiva Goswami just is a maidservant.
Yes.
Yes.
Maharaj, but we also see that in spite of Srila Jiva Goswami being so knowledgeable, we also have that knowledge from the at the time when Srila Rupa Goswami chastised him, or when...
Yes, but I mean, but what's the point you want to make?
The point that I was trying to make is that, because previously you were mentioning about Vaishnava devotee and Babaji, that one is very knowledgeable, but the other one has a realization. So I'm just trying to understand in this particular subject that Srila Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, being the nephew, it appears like he says, listen, why do you want to engage in debate with the big Vijay who came to see him? So my question is that, is it that Srila Rupa Goswami kind of chastising or like, what do you want to do this? Don't waste your time. Is that saying that you are, there's no need, don't waste your time?
And so why would that be a doubt? If he didn't want himself to, if Rupa Goswami doesn't want Jiva Goswami to waste his time talking to materialists and trying to convince them, you know, since they're not interested, why is that a problem? You understand?
Yeah.
Why is that a problem? Because speaking to these kind of academics that are very proud, because the Digvijaya Pandit means he's very proud. Otherwise, why is he going around? You're sitting there in your ashram, minding your own business, and this guy walked from halfway across India, even farther, you know, just to debate with you, because, you know, he heard that, you know, you're known as a scholar. So he wants to be the exclusive scholar in India. So are we dealing with false ego here, or, you know, so... So why talk, why deal with such a person? Because they won't understand anyway. Right? So and for those who value this, then he'll be a big scholar amongst those who think they're big scholars. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what's the problem?
I just wanted to understand better that you just explained it.
Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that why waste your time? Jiva Goswami's point is that Rupa Goswami is a great scholar because he knows Krishna, while this other person knows Shastra but has no idea of Krishna. Therefore, he shouldn't consider himself superior to Rupa Goswami. It would be bad for him, his development in Krishna consciousness. That's why then he spoke to him. So they're both good points. But the point is that enthusiasm to debate, that's not so important. So we have to learn from that. You know, just like Arjuna on the battlefield, is he actually bewildered, or is Krishna's yoga maya? So if you're having, you know, eternal associates of the Lord come down and perform these pastimes, then... Sri Krishna Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.21.34. Being excessively proud and greedy, the minds of such persons are bewildered by the flowery words of the Vedas. They are not attracted to topics about me, the Supreme Lord. Right? So that pride and greed, because you're pride, then you think you already know everything, and the greed, then there's so much to do other than, you know, why should I waste my time getting knowledge about Krishna when I could be, you know, making money or, you know, some other thing. Because if you know about Krishna, where's the prestige? Right? Just like, let's say, someone has a, you know, like say, Bhakti Vedanta degree. Yes. Okay? You know, you have a karmi who has, let's say, an MA. So there's a tendency to think that the one with the MA is more of a scholar than the one with the Bhakti Vedanta degree. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we're taking material scholasticism as the standard, mm-hmm. not knowing Krishna as the standard. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Like that. Yeah, so that's the whole thing. They didn't worry about these things. We see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he had all these degrees, they were all inside degrees. He didn't care about the outside ones. You know, we established that this is proper. Right? It's not like, just like his devotees. He didn't, send them to get Upanayanam from these outside, caste Goswamis. It's within the society. Then one had that. And even though traditionally, for the Vaishnavas, if they didn't get Upanayanam, for according to their family tradition, as a devotee, they didn't worry about it. So they, even though they're second initiated, they did not wear a thread. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that signifies the Brahma Gayatri. Mm-hmm. And so but he had them wear it just so that it would be Vaishnavas are automatically Brahmins, so therefore they're qualified in this way. Mm-hmm. Just to make a point from our side, he wasn't trying to impress them from their side. Because mm-hmm. from their side, you'll never impress, because, even you have, someone else is better. You have your PhD, fine, but then there's the chair, right? There's someone else with tenure who's senior to you. Then there's other universities that are considered more senior than yours, and people have a degree in something that's more senior than yours, right? So like that, it just keeps going up, and it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, someone else thinks they're better.
Generally, after PhD, you need to do a postdoc. After that,
postdoctorate.
And after that, when you join a university as a professor, there are four levels of professors.
Mm. Wow.
And the first one is by your, just by your, like, how many PhDs you produce, and the rest three by politics.
By policy.
Politics.
Politics. Oh, okay, yeah. Yes. Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prickett, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.118. My dear king, as a pot containing liquor cannot be purified even if washed in the waters of many rivers, non-devotees cannot be purified by processes of atonement even though they perform them very well. Because the desire will remain, and even if you get rid of the desire, the seeds are there, and they'll just all come up again. Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrisimhadev, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.19.46. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are 10 prescribed methods on the path to liberation. To remain silent, not to speak to anyone.
What would be the difference?
Between remaining silent and not to speak. Well, seeing that you don't have this in English, then it's you have to use phrases. But in Sanskrit, there'll be some nice word that's more obvious. Because someone just says they won't talk. When it says to not speak, they just don't talk at all.
Mauna?
Yeah, that's mauna. And this other one, you wouldn't speak, means you wouldn't speak to anyone who is not practicing this path of renunciation, right? Because you're talking about the path of liberation. So it means others who are in that renounced position, it's just like what do you call it? Shankaracharya. First take sannyas, then we'll talk. So. To observe vows. To amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge, to undergo austerities, to study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, to execute the duties of Varnashram Dharma, to explain the Shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, and to be absorbed in trance. These different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered the senses, because such persons are falsely proud. These procedures may not be successful. Right? So he's pointing out that most, because of the pride, they're only doing it just for the prestige they get from it. Right? Because when you talk about social prestige, you're talking about occupation, not ashram. Ashram, there's no question of prestige. Prestige is in the social. That's the varna. Does that make sense? So when you say someone has a PhD, it's not an ashram thing, it's a varna thing. Right? And then prestige based on that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So they therefore take it up from that and use it to, benefit their position. So therefore, they may not be successful following these procedures. Even though the procedures can lead you to liberation, they generally won't get. Right? So, yeah. So therefore, it's just devotional service. That will give you all these benefits. Without doing any of these, you'll get the same benefits.
Yes.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.